We all go through those times when it feels as though the world is just falling apart around us. And these last months, this last year has been like that for many of us, perhaps all of us. Things have just changed beyond our belief, really. If we'd been told this time last year that we would still be living under these restrictions, we wouldn't have believed it. It's as well we didn't know, really. The pandemic has dealt lots of multiple blows to us in lots of ways. Obviously, the disease itself has ravished our world, destroyed lives, changed lives forever. But it's not only done that, but the effect on the economy, who knows what that's going to be and how long that will last. And it's not just the national economy, it has hit people hard as individuals, as families, as livelihood is lost. It's affected mental health. Many, many folks struggle, not with the disease itself, but just with the isolation, with the restriction, with the anxiety that it has caused. COVID has struck multiple blows. We're also living in a time of political instability. This last couple of weeks, we have seen the return of dreadful street violence. It seems as though the world is just falling apart. We're coming to terms with the death of a much loved member of the royal family. Someone who has just always been there on that stage, and we're only beginning to work out what that means for us. Things that we thought were stable just beginning to fall apart. But maybe it's not the things which actually make the headlines. Maybe it's in our own wee world that it just seems that life is falling apart, and it will never be in the news headlines, it will never make our newspapers, but it's every bit as serious. Our world just falling apart. What we need is comfort. If you read through the Psalm 137, it's a psalm written by God's people who are taken in exile to Babylon, and it starts with these words of pain. By the rivers of Babylon we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. God's people just taken away from everything that was familiar, everything that gave them security, everything in which they found their comfort, and they're plunked in Babylon, and what they really need is comfort. And that's the situation that Isaiah speaks into. A nation that needs comfort. When the whole world has been shattered and shaken around us, we look for comfort. But the last thing we need is cheap comfort. The last thing those people in Babylon needed was someone simply to pat them on the head and say, there, it'll be all right. And really the last thing that we need in our day is someone to say, oh, it's okay, have a cup of tea, it'll be fine. Cheap comfort is not only a waste of time, but it can be so cruel as well. Because comfort which is not grounded in some sort of a reality, comfort which is not based on something that is true, is no comfort at all. And so Isaiah speaks to these folks who are dragged away from everything that's familiar. Their world has fallen apart around them. And he speaks to them. He speaks to them of God's comfort which is based on truth. He starts this lovely passage in Isaiah 40 with these words, comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Even though they're far away in Babylon, even though they've had everything ripped away from them that gave them security and comfort, they are still God's people. Comfort my people, says your God. they are still God's people. Even though things seem totally unfamiliar, even though the landscape around them has changed so much in so many ways, they are still God's people. That covenant which God made with his people, that they would be his people and he would be their God, that covenant is unchanged. And so one of the first things that these people in Babylon discover is, a bit like the prodigal son, they are reminded that they still have a father who loves them. They still have a home to go to. And there they find their comfort. A father who loves them and a home to go to. Comfort my people, says your God. And then it's followed up with this, another lovely thing. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for. These people have been carried off into Babylon because of their sinfulness, because they had rebelled against God, continually refused to acknowledge God. And often sitting by those rivers in Babylon and weeping, they must have thought, we can never pay for our sin. We deserve this. We can never pay for that. And Isaiah announces, your sin has been paid for. They've been forgiven, which is great comfort for a shattered people. Your sin is forgiven. Then there are these verses. A voice, verses 3-5, a voice of one calling, in the desert prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rugged ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. They will come home, this highway, not just for God to travel on, but for his people to come back to him. God will bring them home. They may at the moment be aliens and exiles, but not forever. Not forever. They will not always sit at the riverside in Babylon and weep. For God will bring them home. And then verse 8. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. Everything else is changing. It's like that grass that grows and withers. It's like those flowers that come out and are beautiful and then drop their petals. But the word of the Lord stands forever. In a world that is changing, in a world that is fracturing, that it seems to be falling apart, God's word can be relied on. Why can God's word be relied on? Well, because it's of the same character as he is. It's unchanging. It's as unchanging and reliable as the God who speaks it. And so Isaiah speaks to those people, reminds them that they're still his people. They still have a father whose love will never let them go. They still have a home to go to. He reminds them that they've been forgiven, that God in his grace has forgiven what they could never deserve. God will bring them home. And it's all based on him, his character, his truth, his word. Sometimes in some traditions, this Sunday, the Sunday following Easter, is called Low Sunday. Perhaps it's just a contrast to the joy and exuberance and the celebration of Easter Sunday. But perhaps on a low Sunday we ask, where is our comfort? Where is our comfort? The truths of Easter are not just for Easter weekend. The truths of Easter are not finished and scrumpled up and thrown away like the wrapper off an Easter egg. The truths of Easter continue. We have this new covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ. We are still his people. We still have a Father who loves us. We still have a home to go to. Those people separated from Jerusalem to Babylon felt that they were separated from God by that distance. Sometimes we recognize that we are separated from God, not by distance, but by our own sinfulness. But because of Jesus, we're forgiven. Because of Jesus' death on the cross, we can not only know forgiveness, but be brought back into that relationship with God. Jesus is that living way back to his Father. Sometimes we feel restless, dissatisfied. We know that there should be more to this life than what we're experiencing. And sometimes that's a good thing, because it indicates that we are, in a very real way, aliens and exiles in this world. But we need to remember that Easter proclamation, which I love. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And there is our hope. There is our comfort. And how do we know that all of this is true? Well, again, it's based on God, his faithfulness, his reliability, and the truth of his word. It's not wishful thinking. It's not a good luck charm that we whip out every so often and hope that perhaps things will turn out better. It's based on the nature and the character of God. The God who still loves us, the God who will not let us go, the God who makes this new covenant with us in his Son, Jesus Christ. The passage which Anna read for us finishes up with these two lovely pictures. The first one is this, verse 10. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. The picture of a warrior. The powerful warrior, his arm rules for him. And there are times when we need the comfort of a warrior, that strength. But it's not the only picture we're given. Verse 11. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. There is the power and the might of the warrior, but there is also the tenderness of the shepherd, because there are times when that is what we need. And in God we find both. That power, that might, that tenderness, care, and love. Where do we turn for our comfort in these days? Well, it's not to a biscuit tin, or a bottle, or a blanket. Our comfort is in God, the warrior, the shepherd. But that comfort is not to be kept to ourselves. There's this picture in verse 9 of going up onto the mountain and shouting to everyone, "Here is your God." In the midst of everything that seems to be going wrong, here is your God. Here's the one who loves you. Here's the one who forgives you. Here's the one who calls you home. It's not to be kept to ourselves. In difficult and testing times, we Christian people, above all others, should be people of hope. We should be those who live out that message of comfort in Jesus Christ. We should be those who, in whatever way we can, get to a mountaintop and shout, "Here is your God. This is your God." The Bayeux Tapestry depicts the Norman invasion into southern England, the Battle of Hastings. And there's a little caption along part of it that simply says, King Harold comforts his troops. Now, you might expect that you find King Harold handing out cups of tea or patting people on the head or telling them they're doing a good job. Actually, what you see is King Harold with a spear prodding his people, prodding his troops. Because in that understanding of comfort, there's also this element of encouragement. Of get in there. God has a missionary heart and wants his people to have the same. And so as we experience his comfort in these days, we should be those who are encouraged to go out and to speak of that comfort and to show that comfort. What God does for his people, he doesn't do just for our sake. He does it so that all may come to know him and see his glory. Someone sent me an email just yesterday and had this quote from C.S. Lewis in it, which is just stuck in my mind. And the quote is this: anything which isn't eternal is eternally out of date. Anything which isn't eternal is eternally out of date. So as God's people, what is it that we're proclaiming? Is it the eternal and unfailing love of God in Jesus Christ, or is it something else? Because if it's not eternal, it's out of date. If it's not eternal, it doesn't give us true comfort. Written along the side of our bulletin and on all of the bits of paper that we send out from here is our mission statement. Our desire, our heart's desire, our vision for this congregation is that we would be people who know Jesus Christ and then lovingly make him known. In Jesus Christ, we find our comfort, our hope, our reassurance. But it's not for us alone. We're called to be those who go out and lovingly make that comfort and hope and reassurance known to a world that so desperately needs it. And that's the eternity that we need to be prepared for. That will never go out of date. Lovingly making Jesus known, wherever he puts us, whatever situation we're in, whoever we're with, whoever's watching on, encouraged in our comfort, in our God-given comfort, to make Jesus lovingly known. May God give us the grace not only to turn to him for our comfort and find in him that comfort that we all need, but may God also give us the grace to reach out to others around us with something of that same comfort and hope and reassurance. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Let's pray together. Lord, as we bow before you, we remember all the things, Lord, that would rob us of our comfort. The things which make us anxious, the things which stop us sleeping. The things, Lord, which confuse us and get us down. And we thank you that your grace is greater than any of these. So help us by your Spirit to avail of your grace, to take opportunities to receive your grace and to grow in grace. And then, Lord, where we need to be prodded into action, where we need to be encouraged to speak and to live and to move. Do that, we pray, by your Holy Spirit, that we may lovingly make Jesus known. And to him be all glory and praise. Amen.